الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، on the subject of the qualities of the strangers, we come to the next quality, which is to uphold and follow the Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After ta'alluq with Allah is ta'alluq with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ta'alluq with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is done only in one way, and that way is to follow his Sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُو إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. In Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this introduction and said, O my Habib, introduce yourself in this way, that this is my way. I invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with proof, with evidence. Subhanallah, all glory to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is pure and above everything that they associate with Him. Wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen, and I am not among those who make shirk. The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, means to bring the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into every aspect of our life. The sunnah is not restricted only to the beard or to the external appearance. That is a part of the sunnah, that is very important, but it is not restricted to that. It doesn't begin and end with that. It goes and emanates and permeates every aspect of our life. The sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in our aqeedah, an aqeedah of tawheed, without any shirk, without any bid'at. The opposite of bid'ah is sunnah. So you cannot have sunnah and bid'ah together in the same place. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in ibadat, to be done to the level that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned specifically and said, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see Him. أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. To bring that level of ihsan in our ibadat. Third one is to bring the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our akhlaq. The most powerful means of da'wah is akhlaq. The most powerful means of da'watul Islam that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself practiced and the Sahaba practiced is their akhlaq, was their akhlaq. Everywhere they went, we have any number of stories of the Sahaba, of the Tabayun, and their akhlaq and what he did. We have the famous story of Ibn Mubarak, rahmatullah alayh, who was selling his house, and his Jewish neighbor was selling his house. His Jewish neighbor was selling his house, and he put a huge premium on that house. And when somebody came and asked him, why is this big premium? He said, do you know who my neighbor is? So he said, who's your neighbor? He said, he's Abdullah bin Mubarak. The premium is that when you buy my house, you will become the neighbor of Abdullah ibn Mubarak. And this is being said by a man who is not even a Muslim. We have many, many stories of the akhlaq of the Salaf. And we have very few, if any, stories of their great bayans, of their arguments, of their debates, almost nothing. Because the way of da'wat of Islam was through practice. The way of da'wat of Islam was through practical demonstration of Islam, not by talking about Islam. To follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be a stranger by following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to bring his sunnah into our mu'amilat, into our dealings with people. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not advise us to be just. He advised us to be more than just. He did not say do adil. He said do more. He said give more. He did not say give whatever you paid for. No, he said give more. He said when you weigh, give more. This was his way. Give more. The famous story of the Sahabi from whom he bought this camel. And it's a long story. I won't go into the whole story. And it also shows that very beautiful story from the Sirah, which shows his relationship with his Sahaba and how he was being, you know, was joking with him and so on. But he was a very, this man was a very poor man. This Sahabi was a very poor Sahabi. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, will you sell me your camel? And the man said, Ya Rasulullah, it is yours. He said, no, I will pay for it. So he said, how much? So the man named a price. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, name another price. So he named a higher price. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, name some more. And finally, he settled on a particular price in gold. And then, when they reached Medina, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Bilal radiallahu anhu, who was his treasurer, he said, give him this amount of gold. So Bilal radiallahu anhu gave him the gold. The man brought the camel and tied him outside the house of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the man, take the camel. Camel is also yours. The akhlaq and the mu'amilat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Mu'amilat is not restricted only to buying and selling. Mu'amilat is our dealings. How do you deal with people? How do you deal with our friends? How do you deal with other people? How do we deal with strangers? How do we deal with strangers? The neighbors who are near and the neighbors who are far. Who are the neighbors who are far? Neighbors who are far are people who are not Muslims. To bring the sunnah into that, where the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is visible in all our mu'amilat. And then finally and very importantly, to bring the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam into our mu'ashra, into our society. Where the Muslim mu'ashra must be distinctly different from the non-Muslim mu'ashra. And distinctly different in such attractive and wonderful and positive ways that people are attracted towards it. That people must want to come and live within Muslim areas. People must want to come and live with Muslims, be with Muslims. Only because they are Muslim. Only because of what they get. And believe me, this is possible. Huh? This is possible. This is entirely possible. Where people see the beauty of Islam from the practice. That is very, very important for us to bring this into it. That is what sets the strangers apart from the others. And as I said, in the hadith of Ibn Majah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam promised Jannah to Fatuba lil Ghuraba. The Jannah for the strangers. Give the glad tidings of Jannah to those who the world will call strangers. People from whom only good emanates, people from whom only positiveness emanates. People who are good for whoever they are with. And obviously, not only is the Jannah for them, but obviously in this world, if you live like this, then you will get goodness back from people. If you are good for people, then people will value you. If you are good for people, people will protect you. They will help you. They say, no, this is good. We want this. Anyone who is in darkness will always look after the light. If there is one lamp in the room, the lamp illuminates the whole room. And whoever is in the room is interested in the welfare of that lamp. Because they are getting the benefit of this lamp. So if there is any breeze and it threatens to blow out the lamp, people will shelter the lamp. There is no, let the light not go out because then we will be in darkness. So what is the secret to get the world to protect you? Become good for the world. Become the lamp which gives light to the world. The world will protect you. The same people today who want to harm you, threaten you, murder you, kill you, destroy you, wipe you out, they will protect you, they will look after you. Why? Because they see good from you. Today they don't see good. I'm not saying that we don't do good. There are those of us who do good, alhamdulillah, but also there are those of us who don't do good. And remember, we are held to a standard higher than anybody else. because we are held to the standard of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore it is not sufficient for us to say, well, you see, I am doing good. Good to what level? Good to the level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his Nabi with. Not good to some level which we have decided for ourselves. And that is why I make such a big deal about this whole issue of da'wah and the work of deen, the work of Islam, to do it only and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without taking any remuneration, without taking any money, without taking any reward for it. Because that is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can give me any number of fatawa in the world making halal this and halal that. You can give me any number of fatawa making it, telling me how it is jais to take money. I don't care. I don't want your fatwa. Show me where Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam took money. Show me where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam charged a fee to talk about the glory of Allah. Then I will take my turban and throw it at your feet. You can wipe your shoes with my turban. But if you can't show me that sunnah, then beware on the day of judgment standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying that you took money to teach Quran, that you took money to talk about the glory of Allah, that you took money to preach this religion of Islam, that you took money to do the da'wah of Islam. Beware. I'm talking about following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm not talking about some fatwa which you have created and concocted for your own benefit. No. I'm talking about the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah of the Anbiya alayhi musallam. Is to do good to the whole world. Is to do good to anyone who came into contact with them without any reward from them. Doing good only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them the ways, and Allah opened the doors. Ajeeb, it is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sunnah of all the Anbiya. It is strange. Kings have treasures. I want to end with this. Kings have treasures. And on those treasures, at the doors of the treasuries, kings have guards. They have security systems. They have 2 and 3 and 4 levels of security to ensure that nobody takes that treasure. But then there is a king. Why do they guard those treasures? Because they need those treasures. The kings guard those treasures because they are in need. They need those treasures. But then there is a king. Ta'ala Allahul Malik ul Haqq la ilaha illa wa Rabbul Arshil Kareem. Then there is a king who has treasures, but he has no need for those treasures. He owns them, but he has no need for them. So what does he do? He appoints people to invite others to take them away. Ajeeb. He doesn't appoint guards to guard the treasure. He appoints people to say, call the people, show them how to take this. Take it, take it, take it. The work of the Anbiya is to teach the people to take from the treasures of Allah. It's not to take money from the people, to show them that way. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How we have demeaned and disgraced the work of da'wah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to show the people the way to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to become strangers in the world and live in the world like strangers in the way that was shown by Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there is no way that is better than his way. And we ask Allah to make it easy for us and to accept it from us. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.